Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is found recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, "Go take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth." So I went to the angel and said to him, "Give me the little book." And he said to me, "Take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth." Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, "You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings." So far our text. Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Our text raises a question that can gnaw unrelentingly as we toss in our beds. What shall I do for this upset stomach? Alka-Seltzer to the rescue? Pepto-Bismol? Maybe a Tums or X-Gas? But the Apostle John's stomach was not bitter and upset because of rich, spicy food that he had eaten. It was upset from the eating of God's word of judgment on sin, from experiencing man's rejection of God's grace. And the Lord's prescription for this to John and to you and me: taste and see how gracious the Lord is. Revelation 8 to 9 have pictured, as I mentioned last week, 200 million horses riding down in terror with lions' heads, snorting the sulfur of hell at their victims, multi-serpented tails stinging like scorpions. We may sigh with relief that we are not under this judgment of God on the blatant ungodliness and impenitence of this world. But God shows us that this trumpet blast of judgment is also meant to rouse the Christians. Rouse the Christians to repentant trembling at my violations of God's holy law. To rouse those who are calling on Jesus to keep turning away from that wretched sinfulness that by nature continues to infect our thoughts and desires. To rouse those who are going to church to keep turning away from every satanic substitute for true repentance. For Jesus tells us that there is another sin that is just as bad as the blatant immorality and homosexuality of Sodom and Gomorrah. For Jesus said it would be far worse for the people of Capernaum. Respectful religious people who assumed we're okay. Compared to those people of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're pretty good. We don't need to repent. We're God's people. And Jesus called those who follow that philosophy whited sepulchers and calls us to keep turning away from this peril of self-righteousness, to live by faith in, on, and for Jesus. Many are the prophets of this world, that would say the solution to any bitterness is that Alka-Seltzer to the rescue of have a deep respect for your own basic goodness. How sweet and loving such advice can sound. Be confident in your own self-esteem. Positive thinking proclaims, you know, with a little religion and a little self-discipline, you can avoid any real wickedness. You can be a good person. You can be worthy of God. But Jesus says, repent. So if we are never trembling at the wretched sinfulness that by nature, yes, infects our very thoughts and desires, then we're not digesting and applying this book of God's Word. It's like the mountain climber who says, hey, it's cold outside. Why not just stay inside by the fire? We can always find reasons to think that we don't need to examine ourselves in that cold, hard work of repentance. We can always find reasons why we don't need to take time this week for God's Word. And yet the moment that we're covering over our sin, our need for repentance, thinking that we deserve God's favor, because we've applied that Pepto-Bismol of thinking that we're better than other people, in that attitude, we are stepping away from Christ. And without Christ, we are without peace and have no hope in the world. But because we would rather not toss in bed at night with a bitter, upset stomach, how often don't we grab some Alka-Seltzer excuse to coat over, to cover over our sin, our need for repentance? Because we'd rather not toss in bed at night with a bitter, upset stomach, how often don't we grab some Alka-Seltzer excuse for not speaking to a sinning brother in a loving call to repentance? When the prophet Nathan was sent to call King David to repentance, he trembled. He trembled for his own life. But he also trembled for David's soul. Nathan's, "You are the man," hit the target square, but it also did it with such a spirit of gentleness that David shot the arrow finally at himself. We are all like the flies that so often get caught in webs of temptation. And yet, none of us likes to shoot that arrow at ourselves and feel its piercing pain. I am sinful and unclean. I have within me a sinful nature that is so wretched that in myself, by nature, I have no hope. I am by nature so selfish that the Lord needs to protect me, my family and my friends, from me. It's necessary, Jesus says, to eat, to digest, and so also proclaim His Word, so that we have His help to remove those log beams from our own eyes, to have His help then also to help our neighbor remove the specks from their own eyes. Jesus' feet, verse 1, reminds us, are like pillars of fire, condemning our sinful uncleanness, squashing to ashen embers everyone who will not turn from their sin and in repentance find refuge in the grace that is in Jesus Christ alone. Though his feet are a pillar of fire. Remember, his face is the countenance of the sun. The sun of righteousness sparkling with a billion diamonds. Your sins have all been forgiven. For he remains that mediating angel, verse 1, speaking comfort to all who come to him in repentance, with words that he declares in our text are sweeter than honey. I have loved you. I have loved you and washed you from your sins in my own blood, and made you kings and priests unto God my Father, your God and mine. If anyone confesses his sins, God is faithful and just, 1 John declares, to forgive them their sins. Jesus, if anyone sins, is the advocate with the Father, the covering sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And the same epistle also says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses you from all sin. Yes, those are words sweeter than honey. Those who, because they want to avoid the cold, hard work of repentance, and therefore stay inside in the rocking chair substitutes for repentance, also don't then experience the joyous exhilaration of this brilliant sun of grace sparkling off the frost in a billion diamonds. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by His grace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, eating God's word of judgment on our sin, an experience, the sad reality of so many rejecting God's grace, can give us a bitter, upset stomach. But Jesus wants you to turn continually back to that grace which He wants to shower on you with the billion diamonds of forgiveness, sparkling to establish the rainbow of His peace from one end of your life to the other. Yes. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.